It's Big Ugly Tailgate, bringing the party to the radio with Casey Studdard, Johnny Rogers, and Ashley Camrath. Talking sports, food, music, and all things ATX on the horn.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Good morning, Austin, Texas. How are we doing, guys?
What's up, Johnny?
Saturday morning, October 24th. You are listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn. Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Johnny.
It's good to see you on this crisp early morning
ATX. Cool early morning. It felt great coming into the studio today.
It was great.
Windows rolled down.
Oh, yeah.
Nice wake up kind of weather.
54 degrees.
Man, I played a little Stevie Ray Vaughan on the way here.
Did you?
So that got me a little pumped up. Nice. Love listening to the legend around here.
And speaking of legends, I did see last night that we lost Jerry Jeff Walker last night, passed away at the age of 72.
Rest in peace, my man.
Jerry Jeff Walker, one of the greatest songwriters, country music legend, Austinite, great guy, Mr. Bojangles.
That dude's an OG.
Yeah, that guy wrote some very, very good songs. I remember my high school days, you know, Jerry Jeff Walker was one of those guys that you knew was going to be on the background, like in the background of whatever high school setting I was in, whether we were, you know, grabbing a keg and going down to Southwest Parkway to, you know, have some beers or whatever. But Jerry Jeff Walker, Jerry Jeff Walker was that guy that, you know, there wasn't a Pat Green when I was in high school yet. You know, Pat Green kind of came out when I was in college. But Jerry Jeff was like that old country western guy that just, you know, when you hear him, you're like, man, that just takes you back to a certain period.
Willie's still with us.
Yes. Willie is still going. With us. Yes.
Indeed.
Tell you what, but we did lose Ashley and Casey.
Yeah, well, for the weekend.
For the weekend.
Yeah, so if you're listening in, you're hearing some different voices here. We're joined by Will Brown and Jamie Frazier. My name is Johnny Rogers. Welcome, everybody. Casey and Ashley are out and about. Casey, I believe, is in Cabo San Lucas this
morning. Oh, he's fishing.
He's fishing in the fishing. Bisbee.
That is, I'll tell you what, did you hear what the entry fee is for that thing, for a boat? It's like crazy.
What is it like? It's
a 170K.
Yeah, 170K.
That's just to participate.
Yes.
Yeah, just participation.
That's you got to bring the beer still.
Yeah.
And that's probably another 17K on that boat.
Jeez. I mean, does that come with like the crew and the boat and everything?
I would hope so.
But I mean, if that's the entry fee, you still got to find a boat.
Or Casey's sitting on the beach with a pole.
Yeah.
Not winning this one.
Probably told Casey to bring some brisket. Hey, hang out. When we come back from fishing, we'll eat some of this stuff.
That'd be great. Thanks, Casey.
But I've got some other friends that are down there. It looked like it was a really good time. I've been told that, you know, just being out in the water right now would be awesome.
I mean, the winner's got to win millions.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's different categories.
It's a $4.5 million pot. Now, that gets distributed in a lot of different ways.
He said one year, one guy, they only had one Marlin, and I think the guy got $3.6 million because they didn't have any other one.
Casey says if he wins, he's not coming home for a long time.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. I don't think Kim got to go with him on this one.
No, he's going to go feral. It's going to be bad.
He's going to shoot her a text back. Yeah, we won. I'll see you next year. Actually, think about it. You only got, two more months?
Yeah.
We're done with 2020?
Can't wait.
Thank God.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm worried about what 2021 has.
That's true.
it's getting worse. Yeah. Seriously. And we're now, it's October 24th, guys, and we are about to have our very first Big Ten football game this weekend.
I thought that was last night, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, last night, Badgers.
But Big Ten.
Yeah. I mean, they finally, you know, we got Ohio State playing Nebraska today. Ohio State being the number 5 ranked team in the country.
Is that at the Horseshoe or is it?
Yeah, it's at the Horseshoe. Yeah. But here's my question. How is Ohio State ranked 5th?
Because they haven't played.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
they're undefeated.
It's they haven't won a game.
It's fine. It's perfect.
Oh, I know. And everybody.
2020, it's perfect.
Yeah, but you can tell. We've all seen the games from last year and this year. You pick up Ohio State and put them in this league. They're winning every game 50-20 or whatever, you know? I mean,
correct.
They probably are the number five team in the
That's
country.
True. I just don't like that they just – I don't like that they said it before.
Yeah.
And it's not like – and I get, you know, previous years when it's like, oh, the preseason rankings. Well, we're are halfway through the season in the South.
Yeah.
And the Big Ten's just getting started. But all of a sudden, you know, they're number five.
Make them play a game before you get a ranking. I get you.
Y'all think – Nebraska has any shot to beat Ohio State today?
No. Absolutely not.
But how do y'all know that?
Because I just know.
No, but like, what if Nebraska just all of a sudden, what if Frost just, it clicked?
I don't care if Troy Aikman's the quarterback for Nebraska from being 25 years old. They're not going to win.
Yeah. Who was that quarterback when they were, Nebraska's quarterback back in the early or the mid 90s, Frazier?
Yeah, Tommy Frazier.
Tommy Frazier.
One of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen play the game.
That guy was incredible.
Yeah.
That guy was so much fun to watch. The Tom Osborne years were.
Oh, those offensive lines were nasty. I mean, you knew they were going to run the option every time. You couldn't stop it.
I like the old Big 12.
The original Big 12?
Yeah.
Greatness.
Yeah.
I love that league too. There's so many great games. There's, you know, in the 2000s, the South alone had. Three teams in the top five?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, your worst team was, you know, your four team was A&M in the top 25 hanging around. I mean, you had Tech, Texas, Oklahoma, you know, all in the top 10. Nebraska
TCU.
Up there.
Yeah. Talking about A&M, how's big old Jimbo? Jimbo.
Yeah, what's going on here?
Oh, even have you also heard about Ogeron?
Yes.
Yes. So what's up with Ogeron?
Nothing
to do with Odell, right?
Eddie's, you know, he's got a little side piece.
He can do it. No, he's not even married. It's legal. I don't know.
Just a little side piece.
Oh, I haven't heard this.
Oh, yeah.
Breaking news from a couple days ago. Guys, here's the thing. Let me just say this. If you're over the age of 50 and you don't know social media, don't get onto it. And don't ever, ever, ever take a photo.
Ever.
Of any of you, of yourself doing anything in a compromising situation. There's photos circulating with Coach O and this young blonde.
And Rudy.
And
her name is like Jennifer, like Lauderdale or something. Named after a Florida city.
Yeah. Yeah, and Louisiana's not a huge state, so I already know people who are connected to the people involved and everything like that. So I texted my aunt lives in Baton Rouge, and I texted her. I said, "Hey, is there anything really going on in Baton Rouge? Is there a big stink going on?" And they said the only thing that stinks in Baton Rouge is LSU's football team.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with Coach O. It has to do with the product of the football that's going on the field.
Yeah.
And it is horrible right now.
Yeah. How long does he get a pass, though, having a natty?
At least 2 years.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
You know, and then at that.
And I'm not saying that he's on his way out at all. I know they're having a rebuilding year, but if this turns into year two, year three, how long does a natty buy you? Is it two?
Well, they lost. I mean, they lost. How many starters did they lose from last year's team? Like
it was
20?
The record going in the NFL draft, right?
And not
and
only that.
And his coaching staff didn't
And his
lose?
Coaching
yeah.
staff.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
got decimated.
Well, what's his name? Rhonda's here in Waco.
Correct.
And then
Joe Brady is now the offensive coordinator
in Carolina.
With the Panthers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Baylor kind of screwed LSU there, didn't they? They took their defensive coordinator, and then the head coach got the job at Carolina and took the OC.
So. That's true. There's, you know, what are you guys? Are you guys Cowboys fans? Because we've never done a show before.
I denounced my fandom last Sunday to my wife. I told Taylor, I go, "Taylor, I am officially not a Cowboys fan anymore." And then in the fourth quarter, she was like, "Well, why are you rooting for the Cowboys?" I was like, "Well, because they're Arizona. I got
fantasy football.
Yeah, I needed to. I need Dallas's defense to hold the Cardinals off that last field goal, and it cost me the victory."
I can now see why fantasy football really confuses a lot of wives and girlfriends.
Yes,
because in their minds, I see, okay, my man's a Cowboys fan, And then all of a sudden, she's watching the Cowboys game, and you're like, let's go, Kyler! Come on, score another touchdown!
Yeah, exactly.
And she's like, wait a minute, you're a Cowboys fan, but why are you rooting for this other guy? Fantasy football.
Exactly.
Fantasy football, mirror that with the red zone. You've got crack cocaine.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. No question. But let's get back to this Cardinals-Cowboys game. And where the state of two organizations
what is going on with the Cardinals? I mean, they come out of the gates like grease lightning. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I'm worried. And you know, that the NFC West is that's a tough league.
It's a very tough league.
Boom.
And to me, what you got here is that key second year of development. That if you're a top first round draft pick and you start in the first year, you know you're going to struggle. But now you get into year two, and this is really where a lot of NFL quarterbacks have taken leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Mahomes in his second year, Jared Goff in his second year.
I think Fitzgerald needs to learn the playbook. That's the problem. Yeah.
Larry can do whatever Larry wants to
do.
Yeah.
Only guy in the NFL born in the 1800s.
Yeah. Yes.
Amazing.
He is timeless.
I'll tell you what I like though. I really like watching Cliff's offense with Kyler. It's they brought a lot of the college components to that game. And if you notice, Kyler, those designed runs, he doesn't get hit.
His slides are they're just very relaxing
to
watch.
Playing baseball.
Yeah. He is playing baseball.
And it really does kind of look effortless too when he runs. He's just quick. You're like, oh my God, that guy's already turned the corner, beat the DB, whatnot, and he's running out of bounds. He doesn't get hit.
He's making NFL defenders look silly, and they don't like it.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that is something you don't see a lot because at that level, the quickness, the speed is just elite, right? And then you see Kyler coming in here, and he's just toying with the dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
I every time I see Kingsbury on TV, I crack up. Guy went to Tech, had a horrible career, pretty much a horrible career at Tech.
In what regards?
Well, I mean,
as a coach or as a player?
No, as a coach.
Okay.
As a coach. But then, hey, you're gone. You lost your job. Hey, you got picked up as an assistant out at SC.
USC.
And then I get a phone call. NFL wants
me. Hey, Cliff, it's Bidwell. How you doing, bud? Wait, who's this? Hey, Michael Bidwell. With the Cardinals?
Yeah. You want me head coach?
Hey, I'm just so glad it happened. My brother's out there in Arizona, and the crew that they've got, Vance Joseph. His defense. I mean, he's got those guys playing. And granted, everybody wants to talk about Kyler and DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald. But to me, if you watch that game, what Buda Baker was doing was incredible. I hadn't seen a secondary guy take control of a game like that in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the last time I saw a secondary guy make that big of a difference in a game. And it just... I think we've all understood that, granted, he's going against Andy Dalton, the beige water pistol, as some people like to call him. I like to call him the Red Rocket. But I think we've all learned that the Andy Dalton experience in Dallas isn't going to work out.
No.
And I'm glad. I mean, granted, they got the insurance policy, and he's a good, stopgap. Mm-hmm. But I think this goes and shows everybody just how dumb it was not to have signed Dak to a contract yet for the Cowboys. Now, granted, he's hurt and all that, but like, how do you not make sure that guy is a Cowboy for the rest of his life?
I'm not buying that.
Buying what? That Dak's going to be a Cowboy the rest of his life?
No, that he's the best option in the future for the Cowboys. I mean, I think let's see how the year plays out first, because you might be sitting with the first pick in the draft, and you might have Trevor Lawrence sitting
Wait.
What?
I know, it cracks me up. It's like, you're either going to end that...
Well,
in that
I fired Dak from my fantasy team, first of all, so I'm a little bit upset.
There we go.
Okay? But for real, though,
let
the season play out. See where your draft order, see what the availability is. Maybe you can get another, three or four year production out of a guy on a rookie contract.
I guarantee that number one draft's coming out of their conference, because they are... horrible when you can make sub 500 and make the playoffs.
Could it be the first division to have the first four picks of the draft?
Wow, that's a good question. Has that ever,
I don't think it's mathematically possible, but
think of alphabetical, we might do well.
Yeah.
So and I heard there was some talk of this I saw on Twitter as the game was going through. Do the Cowboys even consider using Zeke as trade bait to load up.
No. No. He sold. I mean, you see how Jerry hangs on to guys?
I get that, but I'm saying they need so many players across the board.
Well, oh, I agree.
They pull the Herschel Walker trade.
Yeah,
trade Zeke for 11 defensive guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we trade Zeke for the Pittsburgh Steelers defense?
But it was, and I get it. I mean, Zeke couldn't hold on to the ball last weekend. But yeah, they weren't. But none of those
issue. Of those
guys are catching passes.
Yeah,
Pollard dropped a touchdown.
Gallup dropped a pass in the end zone. None of them look expired. I mean,
no. But
they look expired, not inspired.
Yeah, I've seen so many bad decisions that are wrapped around not quarterbacks, not wide receivers, but running backs in the NFL. And people, and I hate to say, I'm not saying they're a dime a dozen. There's definitely talent out there. But I mean, you look at just stuff that went on with, when New Orleans picked up Ricky Williams and basically gave away every single pick they had for Ricky Williams. And you're like, yeah, Ricky Williams is a talent, but he can't block and catch and throw the ball and tackle people. He's not the whole team.
Correct.
You know, and that's what everyone thinks. Oh, we got Ezekiel and, we're going to run. Can't do it.
Well, he's probably not going to run around too much with Dalton back there at quarterback either.
I think, running back's one of those positions. It's easy to fall in love with like a running back.
Oh, it is.
You know, and be enamored with this guy. Like, oh, he's going to bring us championships. We're going to ground and pound. I mean, like, what now? Derrick Henry right now, this year, that guy is worth every penny he's getting. But these guys now don't have that shelf life that they used to have.
What is it, about 4 to 5 you max out?
Maybe,
if you're elite.
then you look at Gore. What is he, 37?
That dude, I mean, he's going to be a
Hall of Famer.
Does he, just for the sake of the story, does he play a couple more years just to see if he can play with his son?
Why not?
His Gore and Gore in the backfield.
That'd be so
the
cool,
law
dude.
Offices of Gore and Gore. I mean,
that'd be great.
Imagine that poster. They still make. By the way, do they still make posters?
No,
I don't know.
Or is it just fatheads?
You're the only one that has the black light posters left in your bedroom. You are the
absolutely
only one.
Yeah. You know the Cheryl Teagues poster up in the what was that? What movie was that? Ten.
See,
back in your days.
You're younger than me. We used to always have the Farrah Fawcett poster up.
Oh, yeah.
You're a little kid. Like, hey, it's cool.
You hang them on your ceiling, right?
Sure. Yeah,
that's exactly what you
next
do.
To the TV set.
Hang them on the ceiling above your bed.
I had the Jordan poster with the wings. I mean, that was definitely one. I remember, I think I had a Donnie baseball. Don Mattingly was on because we had grown up in Indiana a little bit in the same city that Evansville, Indiana was where he was from. And so I would have gone to the same high school as Donnie baseball. So I, big Donnie baseball fan. Ricky Henderson was my favorite baseball guy. Speaking of baseball, World Series going on. Got the Dodgers playing 2-1 now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch any of that game last night?
I didn't watch any of last night's game.
I tried to and fell asleep.
I just not.
The older I get, the harder it is for me to watch a full baseball game.
True.
I'll catch the highlights, but it moves a little too slow. I just
love the fact that home field advantage means nothing.
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 I don't think it means anything anymore.
Yeah, they're up in Dallas.
Yeah, we're in Dallas hanging out.
You think they're staying? You think they're all quarantining that new hotel? What's it called? The Experience?
I don't know.
Have you guys been up there to see this?
Mm-mm.
When Westlake went to the state championships last year, went up to see the game. And
that was the first Westlake reference. Good.
Okay. Well, I thought you were about to say that's the first Westlake state championship, and I was going to remind you.
It was 95?
96. Well, the 96 season. Class of 97. Anyways, no big deal. But going back to the Arlington deal, there is this hotel that's over there right by the stadium and all of that, and it is huge, and it's like double-decker sports bars inside. I mean, it is a really, really good time. I'm just wondering if that's where all the teams are staying and can people stay there as well in the same hotel.
I have no clue.
I don't know. And I had a chance to go up to see my brother, for the Cowboys Cardinals game, and he was like, I can't see you. Like,
yeah,
can't
yeah.
see you before the game. Can't see you after the game.
So how's testing working in the NFL? Talking to your brother. I mean, are the coaches doing every day?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay.
Now I don't think they're at the every day. But I'm pretty sure it's at least 3 times a week.
I think your brother just doesn't like you.
No, that's absolutely. Yeah.
He's like, hey, Johnny, Really, there's no COVID. Joke's on you.
Jamie, you have no idea how true that statement really is. But it was, yeah, he's probably like, you know, you're right. He probably could have seen me, but was just like, hey, Johnny, sorry, man. Yeah. I'd love to get to hang out and see you, but not a chance. COVID procedures, I swear.
I don't think Christmas is going to work out either.
Yeah. No, but it was, you know, I wasn't going to go up there, you know, to see that game. I had a client come in town, so wasn't going to make it easy to do. But, a lot of those players and coaches, they can't see anybody before or after the game. So it's like, all right, what's the point? I think I'll just stay home. And I'm glad I would have been great. It'd have been really enjoyable for me to watch the Cowboys just get crushed.
You're not a Cowboys guy.
No, absolutely. The only reason is it's always just in your face.
I know. I get it. You know? It's kind of like Texas sometimes. Well, of course. It's like in your face, a lot of 8-8 football.
Correct.
You know?
A lot of past glory.
Oh, God. Yes. I mean, I'm still living in the early 90s, my friend.
If I was a Cowboys fan, I would be too.
I mean, there's no other time to live for somebody that wasn't born in the,
I'm living in the, I think it's the 80s with the Niners.
Yeah. Jamie Frazier's.
That was a good time.
Do you sleep in Joe Montana pajamas?
It's
almost like you're there.
Hanes. Yeah, he's in Hanes like Joe, you know. Okay. Yeah. Taking pictures.
Didn't Joe just save a kid's life? Or
somebody tried to steal his grandchild.
Yeah, that was
like a month ago.
What do you got to do? Why is he trying to steal Joe Montana's grandchild?
I don't know. Yeah.
And he like stopped the guy.
Excuse me.
And he's a hero. Yeah. He's always been a hero.
Yeah, of course.
But why are you messing with Joe Montana's grandchild?
I have no idea.
Oh, look, a fight.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me guess, Miami?
North Carolina, North Carolina State.
Huh? Yeah. Oh, big games.
Body slam.
Is that Mac Brown?
No. I wonder what year this is.
We're looking at a replay of a North Carolina versus North Carolina State game. And there was an all-out brawl. And that looked like a coach.
Oh, yeah. A coach picked up another coach and body slammed him. That was a good tackle.
Great form tackle.
That was great form. They'll be watching that in the film room on Monday.
Do you think Chris Ash and the defense were watching that? And do you think he'll show the team, hey, guys, this is how you put your helmet across the front of his chest and you wrap up and you tackle.
Yeah, I don't think they figured that one out.
And you drive until he's down on the ground.
Well, let's talk about their defense. You know, no, for real. Okay,
we'll pick that up on the other side of this break. We're going to take a quick break right here. You're listening to 104.9 The Horn. This is the Big Ugly Tailgate. We'll be right back.
New man Bojangles and he danced for you. Worn out shoes, silver hair, ragged shirt, and baggy pants.
Good morning, Austin, Texas. Listen to some Jerry Jeff Walker this morning. Rest in peace, Jerry Jeff passed away last night. Austin and country music legend.
Was he ill for a while?
I'm not 100% sure. I saw the news. They didn't, you know, explain cause of death or anything like that. But, you know, Jerry Jeff, just one of those guys that was an incredible singer, songwriter. I mean, wrote a ton of songs, including Mr. Bojangles. I think Mr. Bojangles has been covered by just about everybody. It's just one of those just incredible, iconic songs.
Do you know who Mr. Bojangles is?
Do I know who? No.
I think he's a tap dancer.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but
we can look that up.
Yeah, we can.
So right before the break, we were talking a little bit about the University of Texas and the football product they're putting on the field, and more specifically, Will, you want to talk about the defense?
The defense. I think they're getting getting more of a hard time than they should. And if you look at the last, you know, take the Tech game away, but if you look at the Oklahoma and TCU game, I mean, what they give up, 31 points, both games in regulation?
Correct.
Now, in the Big 12, even Yurcich said this, you got to score 40 to 45 points a game to win in the Big 12.
True.
And then if you go look at the special team blunders on the punt return, you've got points from blocking punts. You also getting points from returns back to the in the red zone on their side.
Right.
And then you see, I really feel like the offense and Sam, they kind of go missing about halfway through the second quarter, all the way about halfway to the fourth quarter, and they have a lot of three and outs. Yeah. And I think, if the offense can pick up their game and the offensive line can limit the penalties and the mistakes and the three and outs, you're going to help the defense. Now, I'm not saying the defense is great, but when you give up 31 points to Oklahoma and TCU, you need to win the game.
Texas Tech scored 56 points.
Yeah.
TCU, 33 points.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma, 43.
Yeah, let's go regulation.
But to me, again, it's almost you have to take a bend, don't break mentality mm-hmm. when you're in the Big 12.
And I understand that, but also they had a punt block. That's true. 24 points. I mean, you can't allow those things to happen, especially in week four. The special teams in the offense, I think, are detrimental to the defense.
Well, I think Jay Boulware was hired to come in here and right the ship on special teams, and that hasn't happened.
And it's horrendous.
And it's almost gotten worse. I just don't know where Texas is at. Is it a coaches can't coach, or is it the players not playing?
You got five star players on that team. You're deep in talent. If you can't, I'm sorry. I'm gonna go with the coaches. They're not doing what, and you've cleared the entire, basically coaching staff except for Herman. You know, he
brings I think seven new coaches this year. And when that stuff starts, when you start seeing a lot of new faces, that's mm-hmm. when things are getting your last stand.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's, hey, Tom, it's either your guys or you. So what do you want to do?
And, I hear they're still getting recruits here. They're getting, top-notch players. Are we developing this talent?
No, and that's it.
Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah. I mean, look at the offensive line. You got two seniors on that line and a left tackle that's, projected to be a top two-round pick in the NFL at some point. And this line does nothing but hold, have personal fouls. I mean, that Derek Kirkstetter personal foul in the Oklahoma game on right. the half-yard line to put him back 15 points cost Texas hit, 4 points, right. too. I mean, those are the small things that have really – the small things, and I think a lot of it is the offensive line not being cohesive, that have really cost the Horns games.
It's a problem with corporate culture.
Culture?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's from top to down.
Okay, but that's not happening in Tuscaloosa. It's not happening in Columbus.
Okay, then maybe I was wrong.
No, I'm just... No. Sorry to me to jump on you there, Jamie.
I just want to beat TCU, man.
Yeah.
I'm not...
there's a lot of people that say that, but they can't do that.
But here's the... no one's asking for Final Fours, right? I mean, that'd be great. That'd be the end goal. But right now, get to winning 9 to 10 games on a consistent basis.
But this is the year. If Texas was really going to jump up and do something, this was the year. You got this senior. I mean, a lot of seniors. Sam is the guy. There's no question that Sam's the guy. And this is the kind of opportunity that Texas would not have squandered under a Mac Brown.
Oh, absolutely not. Mac Brown team. I mean,
he can't beat FSU, but yeah.
Well,
Free Shoes University. Yeah. That is true. He definitely has a what is it, kryptonite?
Love Mac.
Yeah. But Mac Brown be undefeated at this point in the Big 12. There's no doubt about that.
Well, you got, and by the way, speaking of the TCU Horned Frogs, we're playing Oklahoma today. And
up in Dallas or?
In Fort Worth at Ammon G. Carter.
Go TCU.
So, I think, we've Spencer Rattler, the thing I think that, at least for OU, the past couple of years, they've had that junior, senior Heisman Trophy candidate who's really been the guy. Now they got Spencer Rattler, who's a redshirt freshman, was great in high school, but he is going to have a learning curve when he gets to the next level, and he has. Texas should never have let Oklahoma. I mean, that game right there, to me, Texas should have just blown him out, and it was.
It was there for the taking this year.
Correct.
I mean, Texas going in. I'm done buying into the preseason hype of UT. Also, I mean, all year it's like, oh great, the conference down, COVID's down, we're not playing LSU, whatnot, and then you go out there and you just lay eggs, and it's just really disappointing.
That's the bet.
You spend millions of dollars on new coaching staff and
stadiums
and whatnot, and then you go in there and you just watch an average product.
It's got to be incredibly frustrating and hard to be Chris Del Conte right now when you're going around asking for money to these alums. I mean, can you? I mean, can you? I guess.
You gotta.
It's like, hey, Chris. I got $1 million sitting right here. If you can win two more games this year,
we got suites being built. We got a new basketball stadium being built.
By the way, have y'all seen the progress over there on the basketball stadium? Yeah.
I haven't, but I've seen the.
It's going to be incredible.
Yeah,
the artwork on it looks great.
Minister of Culture and all.
You got to love that burn orange suit he wears.
Man,
over there.
McConaughey's kind of like the.
Yeah, he's a mascot.
He's a town mascot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the Austin McConaughey's.
He's a good guy.
I mean,
too,
I'm surprised.
Man.
Maybe we're not going to be called Austin FC. Maybe we should just go, you know, the Austin McConaughey's.
That's right, man.
There you go. Just all right, all day long.
Yeah, he's talking to Rogan. Yes, I was listening to it yesterday.
Oh, yeah. He did a podcast with Rogan. What, did you get a chance to listen to it?
Oh, yeah. I was listening to it. It's funny because I didn't know how young he was. Like, basically stepped out of college, did the... Dazed and Confused, and then was like, well, I'm going to go out to Hollywood, see if I can get anything else, because they actually paid me money to do this. And, like, he had no, you know, everyone goes out to Hollywood, and they're like, they go for their first, you know, couple things to, you know, what do you call them, for the tryouts to become
auditions.
Auditions. There you go. Thank you.
The tryouts. They're going to go run auditions. 40s.
Yeah,
and
40. What's your 40 time?
What's your bench? 225. Yeah. What can you put up?
It's like the combine.
So like he goes out there and he gets like three right away. Boom. And he gets the nod on two out of the three. That just doesn't happen. And now he's, you know, 23 years old, making all sorts of money, living out in Hollywood, or you can be whoever you want to be in Hollywood.
Right.
And just, you know, his career just went boom. Crazy,
but he's come back to Austin and has really built, you know, his persona around the University of Texas.
Sure.
And it's a mutual beneficial relationship.
Yeah, and it's great, but it's kind of sad right now, the state of the athletic program. Mm-hmm. But you know,
I like going. But I love having Rogan in the town.
Oh, I do too.
I want to get.
I love the fact
here.
That yeah, Joe. I mean, first off, Joe's a big listener to the Big Ugly Tailgate.
Yeah,
him and Del Connie listen in all the time. So, hey, Joe, if you're listening,
actually likes the high ground better.
You don't even have to text. Mm-hmm. Just come on up.
Yeah, just come on over.
Just
here.
Come on up. We'll get you. I got a spot right here for you. But
I'm sending an Uber right now, Joe.
But yeah, Joe's got some. I mean, he's here now, right. And he's bringing in. You know. Kanye just dropped, I think that drops today at noon.
Wow.
The podcast with Kanye. So, I mean, the fact that he's so vocal about, you know, F California.
Yeah.
We're coming to Texas.
Right.
And we're starting a new life. Oh, by the way, we get to keep a lot more money in our pockets because we're not paying, you know, we're not having to give this away to the government. And two, Austin, Texas is just a great place to be.
Yeah.
Oh, so, Texas is a great place in itself.
Correct.
The whole state. Love it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
No. And there's now been, I mean, it's not just, you know, McConaughey living here. There's a ton of Hollywood people that they're leaving in droves.
Yeah, they are.
Well, Rogan's going to bring people here. I mean, he's going to bring in guests and they're going to look around and like, oh, I think I want to buy a home here.
Exactly. And
I'm
going to be there.
Johnny and hey,
I'm
gonna call,
yeah, exactly. He's like, Joe, listen, if you had any of your guests coming in town and want to look at homes, holler at your boy.
Joe,
JLR512, you can find me on Instagram. Holler at your boy. I'll go pick up your guys and bring them to you.
Joe, you got any dirty clothes, buddy?
Right down, Jack Brown Cleaners.
Hit me up.
Tell you what, he's probably sitting on his back porch overlooking Lake Austin.
Oh, yeah.
Cup of coffee or drinking Alpha Brain or whatever those guys are. You know, I think that is. I mean, I've had some Alpha. Y'all ever had that stuff?
I never have, but I know what
you're talking about. Oh, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, you kind of get that Red Bull feeling, but out without like the jitters.
Have you been to the On It Academy?
I have.
Is that pretty?
It's intense.
Badass, or
it's badass and it's intense, but it's also like a lot of like really pretty people. Like it's not like you know,
Jean's
Jamie
winner.
Frazier over there sweating, you know, like doing his push-ups and his calisthenics.
Yeah,
you know, and just doing nothing but curls and missing leg day.
Never miss leg day.
Never miss leg day.
Sure, Jamie. But the you know, the On It and, you know, it's like where the athletes go to train.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the weekend warrior. I mean, it really is, you know, a lot of, like, I went in there and there was, you know, two guys from the NFL that were getting trained. But I think his name's, Jeremy Hills?
Did they ask you to leave?
No. They like me being around because they look a lot better when they're lifting weights and I'm over here, you know, with. 130 on the bench press, and they're over there with 225.
I think the guy that owns it is, his name's Aubrey.
Aubrey Marcus.
Aubrey Marcus, yeah. I've actually heard a couple of his podcasts, too. Pretty interesting guy.
Fellow Westlake graduate as well.
Oh, did he go to Westlake?
He did. So when I was a senior in high school, I played both football and basketball. Mm-hmm.
We're up to six.
What's that?
Westlake references.
References? Okay, six. We'll get to 12. It'll be a baker's dozen, Bob. So I guess it was my senior year, so I was still playing football, and I was, you know, we had gone and we had, this football season goes when you actually win football games, goes pretty late in December.
Yeah.
So we usually come in January or whatever, and, oh shit, where was I going with that?
I know, you know Aubrey.
Yeah, so Aubrey. So we're coming back in, and I get hurt, so I'm not going to play. So they had to bring up a guy from the JV to take my spot. And they brought in Aubrey Marcus. And I had no idea who he was coming off the JV because I was playing football and all that. And he comes out of nowhere and just starts draining threes.
Oh, is that right?
He's an incredible athlete, too. And so he basically took and built on it. And the supplements and everything like that. Yeah. I think the gym is called the DeFranco Gym at Onnit Academy. Mm-hmm. Well, so if you've never had any of those products, I mean, it's all built based. Everything's done here in Austin, Texas. So if you're going to support somebody and buy all those products, why not do it with Aubrey and those guys?
Absolutely.
So, hey, we'll jump back here on the radio here in a second. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
No, Casey should have done.
What's your Casey?
He should have helmet cammed, GoPro'd his whole little tour.
To the Bisbee?
Yeah, to the Bisbee. Just like.
I don't know if he wants to broadcast what's going on that boat.
But
right
I would
now.
Watch.
Yeah. I wonder, maybe in the break, we're going to see if we can't reach out to Casey and get a live fishing update from Cabo San Lucas.
What's going to happen?
You don't think so?
No.
You know, how many miles offshore do you go when you're in a big marlin tournament like that?
I don't think very far in Cabo. That's the whole deal. They're right on the continental shelf or whatever it's called.
And they're just, I mean, sashimi every day for lunch, catching it, slicing it up. I mean, it looks like a blast. I got Casey's down there and our other good friend Todd Gilfillan. He's got a team going on down there, and it just looks like a blast.
Have you ever been down there?
To Cabo?
Yeah.
Went to Cabo. I've been one time, about a year and a half ago. Went to check out a place called Flora Farms.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been to Flora Farms down
there?
I've
not.
Yeah, it's a farm-to-table. It's about a 15-acre property, and it's one of the most beautiful restaurant settings I've ever been to. It's in my mind, it's the most beautiful restaurant I've ever been to outside of Joe T. Garcia's.
Huh.
Y'all ever been to Joe T.'s up in Fort Worth?
I have not, but I've heard about it.
Jamie Frazier, I know you've been to Joe T.'s.
No.
Okay. So I gotta educate you guys real quick. Joe T.'s. Is to me, Joe T's is a lot like Matt's El Rancho. It's large, it's big. You know you're going to go there and have good drinks, but it is, you're waiting in line every single time you go to Joe T's, unless you're in college there and your buddies are the waiter and they get you up to the front of the line. But you sit, as you're waiting in line, you can go in and get margaritas. And so basically, you're sitting there, you're about two margaritas deep before you even walk in, and it is just glorious. Cash only, no credit cards, no menus.
Perfect.
You only get fajitas or enchiladas.
That's great.
That's it. Nothing else. Nothing else on the menu.
I love the...
shouldn't be. It's
I
perfect.
Love the no option menu.
Yeah, just...
If you make a great dish or fajitas and you do it really well, then just serve the
just
fajitas.
Keep doing it. And it's margaritas or beers.
Just stick to the fajitas.
Margaritas or beers. And like the waiters, the wait staff there, I mean, these guys are making bank. If you were at TCU and you could get a job at Joe T's, you knew you're coming home every night with $400 or $500 in cash.
Your clientele's two margaritas.
And you kind of figure out the systems. So we never got charged for our food. We'd have to pay for the drinks. But, you know, my roommate would charge us like, we'd go there and eat and drink and be like $20. You're like, oh, this is awesome.
You leave with a good buzz.
So everybody, but that's what they do. So everybody just tips the heck out of the waiters and the wait staff, and they just make a ton of money. It is, y'all, if y'all ever in Fort Worth, stop at Joe T's, make it a point to do it. It's right down there in the stockyards. So you can go down there, walk around,
see all the stockyards, kind of a throwback, and then go to Joe T's. It is fantastic. So, Joe T. Garcia's.
So we're going to have merging here when the NBA is going to start again.
The NBA?
Yeah, they're starting. They're talking about starting like November.
What?
End of November, early December.
So do they go back in the bubble at this point?
I have no idea.
Any insight on that? I mean, are we going?
Zane, you got anything on that? The NBA?
Trying to do something that's not bubble-esque. Kind of like what the NFL's doing. But, yeah, like what Jamie said, they're trying to come back pretty early. I've heard December, obviously, with the Lakers being old and LeBron running the league, they're probably going to try to push that back in January. Yeah. But, yeah, I would think that January would be smart and then go to the summer like normal.
Those guys don't want to lose another year of revenue in their arenas. Yeah, they're going to figure this thing out.
We're going to do it 12 months a year.
Hey, it's going to be a bubble in a decade
on a heater,
from now.
Stay at the table.
Yeah,
I guess that's what they're doing. They're like, all right, guys, everybody take a lap. Come back here in a couple weeks. Let's do it again.
How do you feel? You good? Yeah, let's go. Oh, my gosh.
That was pretty impressive, though. LeBron's, I mean, he's, guy's just a stud.
Oh, yeah.
I hate when everyone wants to try to pin him against Michael Jordan. Two totally different types of players.
Yeah. Well, they're two totally types of different leagues.
Correct. It was a totally different league. I mean,
yeah.
Back then it was a little bit more ground and pound.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot more, you know, where the Detroit Pistons are, you knew you were going in there, you were going to get, it was a battle.
Oh, yeah. You're coming out with a black eye. Somebody was.
Correct. And now people aren't even going into the paint. Now it's just the three-pointers everywhere.
And everybody's going to dinner with each other afterwards.
Yeah, everybody's friends.
You ever watch, like, the 30-for-30 Lakers Celtics?
Uh-uh.
They hated
each
other.
Oh, you're talking about the old school?
Yeah, the 80s. Man, they would never be hanging out with each other in the offseason.
But they did. It was when watching a lot of the Last Dance deal, what I saw, at least in the NBA back then, was it was brutal, but there was a respect level. And even after that series with Utah, you saw Karl Malone come into the locker room, you know, make sure. It wasn't even talk to him long. It was just like, hey, good game. Boom, good to see you, whatever. I don't know if that really happens anymore.
Well,
they're probably coming in and like, hey, let's go to dinner.
I bet the 92 Dream Team kind of
mended.
Yeah, minutes some things where you know, it put everybody in the same room for a couple months, and you had all the stars together. Before that, they never played Olympic Games or ever were together.
That's true.
It was all hate, you know, or not hate, but you know what I mean? Like, we're rivals. You're the Celtics.
Even like in an all-star game setting, all those guys are trying to out-duel each other and all of that. And this, you're right, probably Dream Team was the first time the NBA got to come together and be a team.
Yeah,
that's absolutely interesting. I didn't think about that.
So.
Did you watch all the Michael Jordan the whole series with
The Last Dance? Oh yeah, I've watched it like three times.
You gotta love that guy's mentality, right?
He was so. I mean, I grew up, you know, in Illinois from fourth to seventh grade, and this was before Michael Jordan was Michael Jordan, and I was the big. I had the Jordans. You felt different when you put on the Jordan shoes. Oh, we got the Big O?
The Big O. Bring him in.
All right. Big O, what's going on, my man?
Loving this morning. You know, I'm a bear, so I kind of like brisk, cool air. I get a little bit more energy.
A little 54 degrees for you this morning. There you go.
I like it. I love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got the Big O from the world-famous Texas Longhorns, and glad to have you on there, Reverend. How you been?
I'm doing well, man. Things are well, and you know, I'm just looking for the Horns to bring in a win today.
You got numbers on that? Do we got a spread yet? What are we going?
No, I'll just take the win.
I'll just take the W.
That's right.
What do you think is going to happen today? I mean, does Baylor put up some points against Texas? I mean, everybody else is. What's happening?
Well, the truth of the matter, I mean, if I'm being honest, I mean, you know, we haven't been able to really stop anyone. So, you know, look, I ride with Sam, you know, as it relates to, you know, winning and scoring. So, I think Sam's going to pull us through today. The defense, my hope is that we just get better, right? It's a new system. Guys are still trying to learn it. We got guys in positions that are moving from safety to linebacker. So I'm looking for him to get better. I'm looking for some turnovers, you know, and just and be physical.
I just want to be able to tackle. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, that means be physical.
You know, I just want to be tackling. That's it.
No question. Yeah, we got, you know, got Baylor coming in here today, get kickoff at 2:30. Sam's hopefully going to right the ship. I haven't seen what I've wanted to see from that offensive line that was pretty highly touted at the beginning of the year. Have seen very too little, you know, production out of the running back position. What do you think's going on right now? Is that a scheme issue, or do you just think that that something else is going on with this team?
I think this is the thing. I mean, look, obviously coaches will, you know, are skilled enough to come up with different schemes. Look, we pay a lot of money for coaches. They've been successful at other places. Personally, it's not about the scheme. To me, the run game is an attitude. You know, I was blessed to block for Ricky, but you know, during that time, we were loaded. I mean, my senior year, Leonard Davis was my backup. so you got to think about it, right?
And
it's an attitude. Run blocking, you have to want to run block. You have to want to have to let somebody feel you. And we need to make sure Baylor feels us, right? We need, when we touch them, they need to know we touched them.
Correct.
Well, hey, Big O, let's talk about just the atmosphere over there at UT, and specifically, this big wraparound on our fight song and our using of the fight song. What's your opinion on that, former player?
The only thing I have to go on is, is the fact that, you know, what a lot of times these kids are playing football, the reasons why they're playing football, I think it's much different than some of the reasons why I play football. Okay. So for me, the fight song is not anything I was ever privy to really understanding or even knowing. I didn't know the history of the fight song.
Sure.
So for me, the fight song meant unity, right? It means it's something we did at the end of a game, whether we win or lose, we're Longhorns. So in saying that, to be honest with you, these young men are a lot more, the word is being used now, I guess, woke than what I was. But if I put myself, the 18-year-old Octavius, the fight song is something I was still saying because it would be something that would, I'm willing to sacrifice what I was trying to accomplish with football. What I was trying to accomplish was to make my mom's life better. So, at the end of the day, you know, the fight song has its the roots. I think part of that is the University of Texas is fault. I think you have to really attack the past in order to make sure you have a growing and cultivating future. Many times things that happened in the past end up coming to bite us back, coming to bite us in the butt, and I believe this is what's happened. So that's my opinion on it. In saying that, I think it's really simple. To me, if I'm a head coach, what I say to the team is, look, I understand what's going on. At the end of the day, I need you to stand there as brothers. No one knows that you're singing the song, but you can show respect by standing there next to your brother. Don't ever let your brothers stand out there alone. You need to do it together. We're one. And everything else needs to be hashed out. On the other side, I'm also an advocate for student athletes. I really feel like a lot of these kids who have made a stand have been put in the middle of something a bunch of adults and powerful people need to be able to take care of. And I'm not for bullying young people whose brains have not been fully developed and won't be fully developed after the age of 25.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I like that point. I hadn't really thought about it from that context.
Yeah, that's real words.
Well, Big O, do you have like a compromise or a solution? Because I really love the tradition of the team and the fans all getting together and doing the unity. Yeah, I mean, like, is there something else we can another song or something that we can replace it with that everybody's in unity together with?
To be honest, if I'm being honest, I don't believe that will suffice and make everybody happy. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I really don't. We have a much deeper issue here that we aren't paying attention to. We have the the old heads like myself and other people who want, those who came before who have a lot of tradition and passion about the song. But we have to go into the homes of young men that look like me.
Yes.
Okay. When we talk about tradition, I didn't know the traditions of University of Texas. I wasn't a Sam Ellinger who knew that I was going to be a Longhorn. Growing up, that wasn't who I was. So you become, once you get on campus, and then you get an understanding of what it's about from those who came before you, then you're able to attach it to your legacy. Before then, for most guys, particularly guys like me, from the inner city, we don't have that tradition. We don't know that tradition. So really and truly, it's up to the alumni and those who came before us to make sure that they build in relationships with us so that we are attached to their tradition. And so those things that seem not so good about the song or the history is overshadowed by the overwhelming love of the Longhorn family. We have to sit in front of young men. Coaches have to sit in front of young men's parents, and they have to sit through these young men and really explain this now that it's out. So we have a much deeper issue here that I think we need to pay attention to.
But in some ways, I mean, do you think that tradition is that something that's attracting kids to the University of Texas?
The only thing that's attracting a young man like me from the inner city to the University of Texas is the fact that the University of Texas is the flagship school in the state. And it's also when I was coming up, I knew and learned about, and many of those who came after me came because of what was done before.
Right.
The Earl Campbells, the Ricky Williams, yep. The DJ Johnsons. That's why they came. They came because of what they've seen on the TV. They're coming to the University of Texas because they saw Vince Young on fourth down.
Yep.
That's why they're coming to the University of Texas.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Well, hey, Big Yo, thanks for getting a call in here. I love you. I miss you, brother. Come back in and visit us all the time. And
love you guys.
We will talk on at the other side of this break. We'll see you, Big O. Thanks.
All right, hook 'em.
Hook 'em.